Thanks, Lydell. This is Bob Roush, your host to the new Grace Radio series, Voices. Neighbors talking to neighbors about things of community interest. This Voices interview with Pastor Morris St. Angelo will be broadcast in two Voices segments. Today is part two of two. Hope you enjoy it. Our guest today is pastor and author Morris St. Angelo, pastor of New Beginnings Church, author of the book Grace Thoughts, who's with us today to talk about a subject that I think will be of interest to you.
We won't like being here. This idea, and it's the elephant in the room today, is this separation of church and state. That is so alien to what the Founding Fathers had in mind. That statement does not exist in any document that we have, and not only in the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution or any of the early writings of our Founding Fathers who help explain who we are and where we were going. To the contrary, they said that this government would only work with a moral people. And if the moral people abdicated their responsibility in the workings of government, that government would fail. Declaration of Separation of Church and State came from a letter written by Jefferson, who, by the way, was not some kind of wacko deist. He was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you go read some of the original documents and not read revisionist history, you'll see that to be true. And I've had the privilege of reading some of those documents as I've studied this out over the years. But there was a group of people, a denomination called Anabaptists. And when they saw the Bill of Rights in the Constitution, they were afraid that the government would institute a national religion. They were afraid of that because they had left that and they didn't want to have that anymore. So they wrote to Jefferson and asked him to explain. He wrote a letter and said that the government would not create a religious organization, and that he used it almost as an illustration that there is a wall of separation between the church and state. But that wall was that the government wouldn't interfere with the establishment of a religion, but it didn't say that religion couldn't be involved in the government. To the contrary, Jefferson wrote other documents and many other documents that would not happen. And Jefferson wrote, Washington wrote, John Adams wrote, Hamilton wrote, others wrote all those things to substantiate what I'm saying. So the idea of separation of church and state, so that they expected that men of moral, Christian, God-fearing men would be involved in the system. It was back in the 50s, I believe it was, that some Supreme Court judge made a ruling, and he extracted out of Jefferson's letter the phrase separation of church and state. It had never been used before, other than a letter when Jefferson wrote it. And for some reason, I believe it was the work of evil forces in high places, let's just say for our purposes that document was quoted and then requoted and requoted and is taking a life of its own in our society today. And I'd say the vast majority of people you speak to today, if you ask them about declaration of the separation of church and state, they'd say, oh yeah, that's in our Constitution. It's not in the Constitution, and it's not in the early documents. It's nowhere to be found except in one letter written by old Jefferson.
I think a lot of what we're looking at today is actually a perversion of what was intended. The words were twisted, they were changed. The position that church took and the position that government took have now been reversed.
Exactly.
Where the government now is wanting to be what God intended in the first place by changing the certain inalienable rights. Because along with rights comes responsibility. When the Great Commission was given to go and make disciples of all nations, a responsibility to tell other people, to share what he gave us, not let it die with us. And along with these inalienable rights that God has given to human beings and the intended position of the government to defend those rights, yeah, we have lost some things.
Yeah.
It's all been, much of it has been perverted. We've changed places, and we're not where we intended to be. And I think that's part of the confusion. When people get confused, when they get depressed, when they get upset by the whole thing, it's because it's not what it was intended to be in the first place.
You know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving in a couple of weeks, and that's a big holiday for us. One of the things I didn't know, and I just discovered this, one of the first orders of business of our newly elected president, George Washington. Congress came to the president and they said, we've got this wonderful thing established now, this United States of America, and we all agreed unanimously. You know, in the very first thing in the Declaration of Independence, it says, let me quote it for you, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. So there were no dissenters. They unanimously put together this document. And so they said, you know, we ought to do something, have a day of thanks. And so Washington wrote this Declaration of Thanksgiving. And it's a long, in fact, it's longer than the Declaration of Independence. If you see it, you know, I didn't count the words, but, you know, it certainly is close to the same size, but it looked a little longer. And listen to what George had to say. Excuse me, the Honorable President George. He said it was a duty of nations to acknowledge God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to ask for His protection and favor. Is that powerful or what?
That is amazing. That is amazing.
That's the first Thanksgiving. Not about turkey and stuffing and cranberry sauce and all those things, and all those wonderful those things are good. But it's about acknowledging God, obeying His will. What would He have us to do as a nation? What would He have us to do as individuals? To be grateful for what He's done. To give us... Boy, I tell you, I've got a real short fuse when people start talking bad about the USA. Now, we can talk bad about some things that we don't like, that we think need to be corrected. But, man, there's no place like this anywhere. I mean, this is an amazing place with the liberty and freedom. And if you don't think God's involved, do this. Take a look around this nation and how blessed we are, the prosperity we have, the middle class prosperity, the houses, the cars, the streets, the arenas, all of these things that we have. And go look around the world and see what they have. And Bob, you served in Albania and Spain. You know firsthand, there was nothing like this place called the USA.
Now, you're exactly right. And while we were overseas, we, along with many of the missionaries who were there, observed Thanksgiving. And it was very much of an anomaly in the countries to be able to see Americans gathering together to be thankful to God. Yeah. And maybe they thought because we were missionaries that was what we were supposed to do. I don't know. But it was considered with great awe as they looked at people who were thankful for the day-to-day existence, just thankful that God had blessed them and honored them in such a way as to let Him be His children.
Yeah.
Countries around the world envy, and they don't understand it. But I think that may be because they are founded on different principles.
There was a missionary who was working in Haiti, and he observed a religious ritual, a voodoo ritual that was going on. And these men and women, there was an indentation in the road, had muddy water in it. And they had a chicken that they had cut off his head, and the chicken was bleeding, and they were going through some kind of religious ritual in this mud hole and worshiping their voodoo god, if you will. And this missionary, observing that, said, "Thank God that I live in a nation where we build cathedrals with stained glass and we honor Him and we worship God in a who is worthy of more than just a mud hole and a chicken with his head cut off."
Oh, wow.
And, boy, that really impressed me when I heard him say that. Because I've heard people say, well, we ought not be spending money on these cathedrals. You know, we got poor people to feed. Truth is, we got enough money to do both. And if you can build a stained glass cathedral that honors God, let's do it. And if you can put in a pipe organ, let's do it. And if all you can do is be like my church, which is a storefront church with a log cabin front, let's do that. But let's do the best we can to honor the God who established this nation for us. It's more than the last bastion of freedom. It's the place where the liberty and freedom and life that God bestowed upon man is honored, and it's written in our documents. If we just take the trouble to look, like you, it changes me when I read these things and I think about these things, and it makes me want to get on my knees and thank God for creating us, that we didn't crawl out of some primeval slime and suddenly get smart, that we have been endowed by Him with life. He breathed life into us, and that life is precious.
Well, you know, as we approach the Thanksgiving season, the time that George Washington spoke of in 1789 and other presidents along the way have proclaimed and made it a national holiday, it's a good time. It's a very good time.
Yes.
for us to realize not only what we have. It's easy to look around at what we have. And those of us who have traveled in other countries and other places in the world, sure, America is truly a blessed nation. But to understand why we have. And we have it because somebody put God first.
Yes.
Somebody said that we are the children of God and that He's given us certain things, life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. He's given us those things. And because He's given us those things, what we see around us is the result of that.
Yes.
And to be able just to go back and say, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful to live in America. I'm thankful for all these things. But, you know, mostly, I'm just thankful that God had His mercy upon us.
Yes.
That He gave some men over 250 years ago some wisdom to be able to build a monument, not built in concrete and glass, but a monument built on the hearts of men.
Yes.
And to encourage us to continue to build that monument, to add flesh and bones to it. Pastor Morris, just thank you so much. This has been just totally awe-inspiring for me. To be able to consider the things that you brought to us today from David Barton and from mm-hmm. other readings that you've done and as being a student of it. And I just want to thank you. This is really very helpful to kind of calm the seas.
Yes.
And get it down to just let's not be too upset about things, but let's go back to our roots. And our roots are the words of our Creator.
You know, we're in the middle of a presidential election, and we're greatly divided. At one time, elections were held with differences of opinion on how to achieve the same goal. It seems we've lost that. And I think we've lost it because we've lost sight of who we are as a people. And we need to get back to that. We need to reestablish that. And whoever gets elected president, to do our best where we live, in our communities, and across this great nation. And we can make a difference. As you know, and I'm very passionate about this, I was very depressed several years ago by the way that our nation was going. Abortion, the marriages, the sanctity of marriage, and other things. And I just felt it was impossible for me to, nobody would listen to me in Washington, D.C. And God spoke to my heart about getting busy in our town. And I took that to heart. And I decided to become more involved. Not an activist, because I don't consider myself an activist. But just to do what I could do with whatever strength and voice that I have to try to do something. And I've been amazed at the things that have happened, the people we've met, this radio station, you, the work that you're doing, others, the move of God in our community. You know, the rest of our nation is having some real troubles, but I thank God for Slidell, Louisiana.
Amen.
I think
Amen.
We're doing good.
Amen.
I think we're better, we've more to do, but I think we're at the right place. So, I guess I know you're trying to draw this to a close, but just let me repeat what these five things that David Barton brought out. And I would challenge our listeners, go Google the Declaration of Independence. You can find it. And look at the first 155 words of it and think about this, that the government acknowledges the existence of God, that every individual, that's you and me, is endowed by God with inalienable rights, that our government exists to protect those inalienable rights, that God has provided a fixed moral law that we should live by and not hurt our neighbors, and in the matter of social compact, whatever the speed limit is, I wish the speed limit was 75, but it's 25 and I have to slow down. We go by the majority rules. That is really an amazing thought. And I thank God for bringing up a guy like David Barton to inspire us all.
Amen. Well, it's good thinking, it's fresh thinking, it's helpful thinking to help us to walk out of the maze that we've found ourselves in for the last couple of years and to the light of reality. And the reality is God's on His throne.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Barnes. We really appreciate your time and your study and your effort and your willingness to share that with us. We're blessed. Thank you.
Amen. You're welcome. Glad to be here. Maybe you'll ask me back again.
Perhaps I will. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can give us a call at 985-250-1037. If you have comments about anything you've heard in this broadcast today or If you have comments about other things that you've heard at the station or things that we can do different, we'd love to hear from you. We'd also encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell. And you can tune in to graceradioofslidell.net where you can leave a tax-deductible donation. We are supported by listeners just like you, and we need your support. And again, give us a call, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now, Slidell. You can hear voices every day at 10 and 3 p.m., and I look forward to talking to you again. Get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.